Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 31st of March, and I'm recording at 9:17 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, what can we say about today? Well, the main point, I feel, is that investors have certainly enjoyed their significant January rally. But markets, as you will also have noticed, are mostly overextended and are just beginning to lose some of that uptrend consistency. So, as I mentioned in last night's audio, I would think in terms of a reaction and consolidation commencing in February, or may have already started for some markets in here today. I'd be surprised, certainly, if markets went roaring up again in February. So we're overbought, we're overextended, we're due for a so-called healthy correction. I am hopeful that we won't see a rout. But as you know, over the last few years, when we've reached overbought conditions, we have tended to see a rout. But because we've had a lot of two-way volatility, as you know. But is the environment different today? Well, I think it is, for reasons that I've mentioned pretty well in all of my broadcasts, as has Owen, in that people are beginning to feel a little bit better about the world overall. And that is supporting stock markets. And I think that change in sentiment is very much justified. Now, okay, so what happened in here today? Well, the Asian stock markets were mostly down, although Japan was up a little less than a quarter of a point on a soft yen. The two big special situations in Asia, of course, are Japan, given this exciting, very interesting fundamental change that's actually taking place there. And it's likely to be really quite important. Keith Raben, that's a name that may ring a bell for veteran subscribers. Interesting guy who is writing for under the Jetro name right now. But he travels around the world and does interviews with a number of people and produces reports on various countries. And he has one of the most fascinating interviews that I feel that I've seen, and it's with someone named Masakazu. I think that's the right way to pronounce that, but I'm not certain by any means. Masakazu Toyoda. Now, he's been mentioned before in Fuller Money. Hugely intelligent guy, hugely experienced in the business world, and he shares the enthusiasm that Shota Abe, the new prime minister, has been expressing. And what more can I say? I like what I see. It's been easy to overestimate upside potential or rally potential in Japan over the last many years. But as I've written today in reviewing this interview, and it's just extending my thoughts that have been developing over the last couple of months, I am actually wondering, and I'm going to wonder out loud, always a little rash to do that, but I think I can do that in the company of subscribers. I think there's a possibility that Japan is in the early days of the third seminal change that I've seen throughout my career. I mean, the first one was in the 1960s when Japan was just a recovering, a reorganized, post-World War II emerging economy. But in the 1970s, it became quite apparent that Japan had extraordinary organizational and manufacturing skills. And the country and its stock market just took off, as you may recall if you lived through that, and it was a very interesting part of market history if you did not, worth reviewing. And to give just a quick tour of what happened, Japan built what, in my opinion, was certainly the biggest bubble that I've seen of any important stock market for an important economy. And Japan did become a very important economy during the 70s and 1980s. And that bubble was a classic, and it burst in late 1989 and fell predictably quickly. And the surprise, though, for me, was that after a few years of unwind, Japan did not experience a sustainable recovery. And I think it's had three pretty decent rallies along the way, but they seldom lasted for over a year, and they certainly weren't maintained. The best one actually occurred in 2003, or it started in 2003, and carried on for a couple of years more. But then again, the gains were retraced. Japan came all the way back down and ranged sideways in a sort of a trough near the 2003 or just above the 2003 lows. And now, as you know, we have Shinzo Abe and a new policy, and it is exciting interest in Japan. You can see that in the market action, and I think we're beginning to see that now. In the comments, certainly the comments of Masakazu Toyoda. And it's very, very interesting. So that first seminal change, the big bull market and strong economic surge, the second one, of course, being the significant unwind for that whole period. And the third one, possibly, this is very theoretical at this stage because the evidence is so, on my part, because the evidence is so preliminary and new, is that from that low in mid 2000, mid November, we're getting this mid November 2012, we're getting this very powerful rally. And a strategy, one of the strategies, is of course to weaken the Japanese yen. That's at 91 against the US dollar. I'm in here today, so they're carrying on with that policy. My feeling, my hunch is that the yen's going to weaken a lot more than most people are saying, and certainly more than Shinzo Abe is willing to forecast at this stage. But you know, once you've embarked on this track, you don't do it in a half-hearted, temporary manner. But he's not going to want to rattle people in other governments, and I suspect we'll get a much slower rate of yen weakening, yen devaluation in here from here on. But the highest estimates that I've seen are people talking about 94, maybe 94 and a half or so. But if you look at a long-term historic chart, there's no reason why it can't go well above that, because the yen was a particularly and unusually strong currency for really quite some time. Now, what else to mention here? The other big story, of course, is China. And I think again, all the preliminary indications, as I've been saying since December, are very positive here for China. So I think these are the two most exciting stories. They're very different, and the two countries are rivals, of course. But I think that's where we're going to see the best profits here. Although, if those two countries do well, particularly China, if it does well, then the ASEAN sector is going to do well also. But again, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, and I remind you what I said in the opening, what I said yesterday, is that we're overbought and overextended here. So we, in some of the markets that have been relative strength leaders in the last few years, I'm thinking particularly of the ASEAN sector. Don't be surprised if we see some mean reversion reactions. Will it hold Japan and China up all that much? Well, we'll see. I don't know, is my answer, but I do expect Japan and China to move considerably higher over the course of this year. Now, Vietnam, I did mention that yesterday also, and I think that could be really quite interesting. And that also has been in a long trough. People had lost confidence in Vietnam because of the huge devaluation of its currency, but that's been steady for the last couple of years, and confidence is returning, and it's a cheap market there. Now, turning to Europe, it's done brilliantly here, but again, we're overextended, and I would expect these rallies to spill over, and we'll see some reactions and consolidations. But as I said before, hopefully not big routs. We had that sharp drop in Italy yesterday on a couple of corporate disappointments. We've seen a partial retracement of that decline, so that's good. We had no follow-through. We did early in the day, but then it opened on the high of the day, but it only recovered about a quarter of yesterday's overall decline, but at least we didn't get follow-through. In the Americas, and Wall Street down a little bit in here today. We're really looking at, on average, a quarter of a point, quarter of a percentage point, a decline overall. A bit of a bounce in Brazil, which was hit hard yesterday. One of the other interesting stories that are taking place here today, government bonds. Now, they've taken a caning, really, over the last couple of months. If stock markets go into a reaction phase, as I'm predicting, then I think it would not be surprising to see those bond markets get at least technical rallies. How strong those rallies are will actually be quite interesting. And I've got an open mind on this. We know we've got the quantitative easing continuing, and that will. That's very much of a tailwind for them. But we also know, as confidence has improved in the global economy, a lot of investors are getting a bit concerned about staying with these markets. They were thinking at one stage that they could stay with them for a number of years if the United States was going to go into some sort of Japan-style prolonged slump and disinflationary overall environment. But clearly, people are also seeing some profit erosion, or have seen some profit erosion recently, and are thinking the other way here. And you know my view on this, that these long-dated government bonds in these highly indebted countries that are using the QE to keep those interest rates so low, that these are very much bubbles. And it's hard to argue against that when you look at 30 years plus of falling yields, albeit initially from very high levels, which was a natural and healthy adjustment. But I don't want to overstay on this point. They're bubbles. So the best that we're likely to see, in my opinion, is just some further ranging here overall. But I continue to expect some drift away from the bond markets, and that will be a big theme here in terms of market action, and it'll be a source of funding for stock markets. Now, looking at commodities, industrial metals, they all rallied a little bit yesterday. They all weakened a little bit in here today. And we haven't seen, well, I was going to move on to currency, saying we haven't seen a great deal of action in the currency markets here today. I did mention, though, that the yen was still soft, and I expect that trend certainly to continue for the intermediate term. Again, anyone playing Japan wants to be short the yen for maximum gain. Now, but I should talk about the precious metals here. And today's very disappointing, from my perspective at any rate, because we had that good upside action yesterday, but we gave it all up today. Or not quite, but, well, just about. We actually gave up more than yesterday's gains for a while, but then the precious metals lifted a little bit off those lows. For instance, gold is currently at nearly 1664, at 6395, but that's down over $13, but it is $5 off nearly off the $6 nearly off the lows that we had seen earlier in the day. So still choppy within this range overall, and we're needing to see gold push strongly above that 1700 level to start to encourage people that the demand is back beyond a day or two, and that buyers are actually gaining the upper hand here overall. Now, silver similarly fell sharply today, got down to 3112 at one point. It's currently after hours at 31, nearly 3150 here overall, but down over 70 cents on the day. Palladium, which has been very strong, pulled back. That doesn't look like too much of it's not much in the way of technical damage on the chart, and it's above the overall range that still contains platinum and particularly gold and silver. And I think those are the main stories in here overall today. So I'll not hold you and say good night to you all. I will be recording earlier tomorrow because I have a function overall, and Owen is away today and also tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.